Michael Steinberg, Parshas Akrimos Kedushin.
Family have lost a tire in the Shoma the last few days. Rochel Bas Chaim Moshe. So I'd like these few words to be in Mishmosa. Klal Yisrael laying five Megillas a year. I don't know what you think, but I've often thought that it's not just Yelein that moment, Kaelas, Sukkos, and that's it. But it's the Megillah is the lesson of that period of the year. So that Eicho is the lesson of the Dry Vochen, and maybe afterwards, Kaelas is something to misboinein in the winter months. Now is the period of Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, we lay in Pesach, and it's Shir HaShirim is something to misboine in these weeks. If you want to be misboine properly in Shir HaShirim, you have to go to Mason Yehuda's Shir on Sunday morning in Shari something, Shari Motzke. Pesach is in Shir HaShirim. Mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'chabois esu'avo unahorois lo yishtefuho. Great waters will not extinguish the fire of love between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and rivers will not wash it away. You know, the Tanoim often darshan psukim and say, Zeh. They talk about a pasuk and say, Zeh so-and-so. If you had a Tanna here today in England, or in the West, I think the Tanna might well say, Mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'chavos esu'avo, Zeh internet. Unahorois lo yishtevua, Zeh ofsted. Klal Yisrael is a tremendous kiddush Hashem that Klal Yisrael, through every dair, overcome, fight and overcome the nisyonos that try and separate us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the big Kiddush Hashem of the world. And it's the most important thing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to speak a little bit about Kiddush Hashem generally, and then a few chidushim I've heard which might be new to you. The Pasuk says, it's actually next week, Sedra. It's a mitzvah. Do not profane the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a lav. And I will be sanctified amongst the Bnei Yisrael. That is an asay. And a lav and an asay. But these are very important. Perhaps one of the most important mitzvahs of the Torah. The Horaya Chazal say, person does chil Hashem, there's no kapora in this life, in this lifetime. It's a big, huge, tremendous avera. And Kiddush Hashem is perhaps the greatest mitzvah. So the Rambam says like this, there are three categories in Kiddush Hashem. Now, this is well known to you, Mustama. Category number one is there are situations where a Yid has got to be prepared to give up his life rather than do certain averas at certain times, which we'll go into. The second category is that a person does an avera without any motive, is entirely just to go against the Eibishter. That is lo yisachal l'shem kodshi. And the third category is a Talmud Chochem, who is known for his tzidkas, who is mezalzel, treats kavalier, a mitzvah in front of people, then he's over lo sechal l'shem kodshi. There's three categories. I'll go into a little bit more in depth. The first category is that a person has to be prepared to give up his life for certain averas at certain times. The category is like this. There are three situations. Situation number one is at any time, any person must give up his life rather than be over the three averas chamurois. Avodah Zorah, Girah Royos, and Shvichas Damim. Then he mustn't, the Goy, for instance, will tell him to serve Avodah Zorah, he must die rather than do so, or do a morality with Girah Royos. Then he must die rather than do so, or kill somebody. That is one situation. The second situation is if there's a Shas Ashmad, that means a government is trying to break some of the mitzvahs of the Torah. That even Kenzai, even the mitzvahs I say, then a person has to give up his life rather than transgress that mitzvah of the Torah. And the third situation is that at any time, if a goy, for the say, in order to make a yid sin, any avera, a lav probably, asks it to, instructs him to do a certain avera in front of 10 yidden, then he's got his lus chalashim kodshi, he has to give his life. That's one category of kiddush Hashem. The second category is that a person who does an avera where there's no real motive, no pleasure, then he's over chilul Hashem. That really comes from this week's sedra from kedoshim. Those who shovel b'shmi la'shoke, don't swear falsely. And that would be a chilul Hashem. To swear falsely, Baruch Hashem, we're not in the nishal summit today in these days, we don't swear. But to swear falsely would be a chilul Hashem because there's no real pleasure in, there's no real benefit or pleasure in the neshuas sheker. And the third category is a Talmud Chochem. Like the Rabbi Yochanan says, if he goes 4 hours in the street, even if he's tired and he can't learn, but just the fact that he does it in front of people, then people will be mezalzel in learning or mezalzel in tefillin if he doesn't wear tefillin. So it makes a chilul Hashem. That's a very big achrayus, tremendous burden on the Talmud Chochem. Has to be constantly careful not to make chilul Hashem. I'd like to discuss and tell you, go into one or two, a little bit into these concepts, because Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem is a huge mitzvah in the Torah. I'd like to start with category number two, because those are less well known. If a person does an avera for no motive other than going against the Eibishter, that is a Chilul Hashem. The Chofetz Chaim says a moridik chiddush, which I was very surprised at. Chofetz Chaim says, someone who speaks Lashon Hara is over lo yischal l'shem kodshi. Right? That's in the Lavin, in the Hakdoma, when he goes through the Lavin. He says, someone speaks Lashon Hara. Why? He says, there's no pleasure in Lashon Hara. The Chofetz Chaim obviously wasn't very good at speaking Lashon Hara. Because everybody knows there's lots of pleasure in speaking Lashon Hara. There's being bearer of the news, and a bit of a shtech of yenem, and a bit of jealousy, and a bit of whatever it is, being one of the gang. You know, there's lots of motives in Lashon Hara. Yet the Chofetz Chaim says, no, that's lo yischal l'shem kodshi. That's a mori dika chiddush. I found that very, very shver. Actually, his raya is very shver, because he says the raya from shua sheker, because the shua sheker, he can sometimes gain money, and nevertheless calls chilul Hashem. It's a bit shver, because in fact, the shavu mishmach is used without, where there's no money involved, necessarily. Anyway, it's very difficult to make a Chofetz Chaim. Perhaps he didn't have much experience in the pleasures of Lashon Hara. So I spoke to him with Bishra Lanshu Shlitti. He tainted, I think he's, that's what Shash Shash, if you see in the Be'er Maim Chaim, it sounds like that. He tainted that Chofetz Chaim, in his day, people barely knew about Lashon Hara. It was a day where the sort of people, it was a sort of standard practice. You got together after Shalashunas and Shul and had a good chinwag about all the different things you could talk about Yenim. So these people were completely, it made no difference to them, it's Osser or not Osser. So he said like this. Even if there is a motive, if the motive's irrelevant, it becomes a chilul Hashem. That's actually a very big chiddush. That means you say, tack at this moment, maybe it gets a pleasure. But you do it so often, so much. And you, if somebody told if you didn't have the pleasure, you still do it. It's a chilul Hashem just by doing it. To illustrate this, a beautiful story, maybe you've heard it, from the Pondit Shirov, went to South Africa. I mean, when I was a boy, the distinction between Reform and Orthodox were getting rather blurred, because in those days, the Reform had epos, a bit of Yiddishkeit in it, and a lot of Orthodox shuls had very little, so the distinction was very little. So there was this sefer in South Africa. They met, the two shuls, the two rabbis, met. And the Reform rabbi opened the proceedings with an attack. He said to the president of the Orthodox, in inverted commas, Orthodox synagogue, "Do you keep the Shabbos?" So the fellow blushed and said, "Well, no, actually I don't." So the Reform rabbi said to the Orthodox rabbi, "So what's the difference between our community and yours? What's the difference?" So the Polish rabbi was there at the Shasifa, so he said, "Can I speak?" I said, "Yeah, okay." So he turned to the president of the Reform synagogue. And he said, "Well, do you keep the Sabbath?" He says, "Nah." So the Polish rabbi said, the president of the Orthodox synagogue blushed. That's the difference. That's an amazing difference. Because that, for the president of the Orthodox synagogue, was over Shabbos, but it wasn't over Chilul Hashem. And the one of the... Right, and the four, that was no blushing. It's worth, if you're going to speak Lashon Hara, it's worth blushing. Saves you in Chilul Hashem. You understand? But Chilul Hashem is an aveira which death, till death is not no kapara. If you blush, you've saved yourself Chilul Hashem. It's an amazing thought about keeping mitzvahs. It's worthwhile feeling a bit guilty. And it means if a person speaks 100 nisyonos in Lashon Hara, and just once he doesn't do it, because he knows he shouldn't be doing it, he saves himself 99 times Chilul Hashem. But if he always does it, that's Chilul Hashem. We have to have Shemiz HaKoraz HaTov to the Rosh Shiva, Zichrono Livracha, by sort of being... emphasizing this business right with his luchos, etc., brought home a little bit to our community, to generally in the world, that it's not something that should be hefka. I think actually he writes in his little luchos, it shouldn't be hefka, because if it's hefka, it's Chilul Hashem. Midaf Darshan's in Latov as well, though, because look at it the other way. I always wondered, Taka. I say, just like there's Chilul Hashem, there's Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is a person does a mitzvah with no motive, no ulterior motive, just because the Rebbe wants him to do it. That is a Kiddush Hashem. So nobody needs to see it. Completely in privacy of your home. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. Kiddush Hashem. You do a mitzvah without any motive. Kiddush Hashem, the Rambam says, Pirush Mishnayis, I think at the end of Makkos, I think it is, that a person, Rotsa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zakos Yisrael, Lefichach Hebel, and Torah Mitzvahs. Because what does it mean? It means like this. Kodesh Baruch Hu has loads of mitzvahs. Because if there's loads of mitzvahs, there's a possibility sometimes you might do a mitzvah purely L'shem Shemaim. And then you're guaranteed Olam Habo. Right? One mitzvah, entirely L'shem Shemaim, you're guaranteed Olam Habo. So the Rosh gave us loads, because unfortunately, because often the mitzvahs have got motive. People watching, people feel good about it, etc. Do one, the Shem Shemaim Mamash, Olam Habo. I heard a beautiful hesber from the Ramasio in Yeshiva days. I think I'm saying it right, it's a long time ago. He said like this, the logic's simple. He said, Chilul Hashem, there is no kapara in this world. That means nothing, the Rosh was no Einish, will take away the Chilul Hashem. So Kiddush Hashem means there is no reward in this world. It's the reverse. One of the things that makes us worry about our Gan Eden is, you know, you first thing says, go to Gan Eden and say, Rosh Hashanah, I want Gan Eden. So Rosh will say, well, you know what? I gave you there, I gave you a lovely home, and I gave you a family, and I gave you health, and I gave you such a lot. You pay it, it's all paid up. But if you do a Kiddush Hashem, it can't be paid. Just like Chil Hashem can't be punished, Kiddush Hashem can't be paid. Guaranteed Olam Habo. Right? Person doesn't mean, so I often thought, well, yeah, but how often does a person do it? Person puts on tefillin on holiday, so nobody sees. You go to shul, everybody, I can't not put my tefillin on. You go on holiday, you put on tefillin, and nobody knows. Ah, come on, that's not a Kiddush Hashem. Come on, you know you can't face yourself if you don't. You know you're not going to feel good all day if you don't put on your tefillin. You've just got to. So it's not a Kiddush Hashem at all. That's how I always think. And it's a good argument. I think though, if one was Chofetz Chaim, I could argue back, no. What Chofetz Chaim said is a person is completely hefker, Lashon Hara, so that even if he enjoys it, it's still Chil Hashem. Why? Because it's so hefker, you'll do it anyway. Oh, so the reverse. If I know I put on tefillin in any situation, when I've got flu, when I'm on holiday, when there's a plane to catch, I'm always putting on tefillin. So what's pshat is I put it on anyway. So according to the Chofetz Chaim, that's a Kiddush Hashem. Right? It's a good svara. It's worth remembering it. When we go there, to know, Bereshim says, you know, what have you got? Say, I've got Kiddush Hashem. And they can't pay that in this world. Well, I put on tefillin. Ah, tefillin, of course you are. No, the Chofetz Chaim says that if a person does it, regardless, then never mind the motive. Does it come to Chais? That's a wonderful thought. The third category, I'd like to go to the third category, but I'm already Gechidish in the third category. The third category we said was a Talmud Chacham that is Mezalzel, even in something very important, even something minor, but it leads to people being mezalzel, that is a chilul Hashem. I'll tell you a story that happened to me, and I was in Eretz Yisrael, living in Matel Chanam, which is an Orthodox neighborhood. It was a very frum neighborhood. And the rabbi was Rizitzchok Zilberstein. And there were a few shops in the area. One of the shops was run by a less than religious person. And some wild youths spoilt something in the shop as a sort of canois. I don't remember exactly what they did. Rizitzchok was very, very upset. He darshan in shul, I think, Friday night. Chil Hashem, and he went to the shop owner and he apologized and he tried to make it good. He was very, very upset about it. Rendus Chil Hashem, he said. That was very good with him, so I went to his house and I said, I understand you're upset and I understand it's not good, but excuse me, but it's not Chil Hashem. I mean, how not? You know, listen, it wasn't Yorgayavar. It wasn't, you can't say they did that Vera without any pleasure. These Kanois could get a lot of pleasure out of the Kanois. And I said, they're not Tamidei Chachamim, they were wild youths. So I said, it's not Chil Hashem. Not into any of the three. Remember, he only says three. So he said to me, I'm already a Chiddush. I think I've seen someone else write this since then. I'm already a Chiddush. He's like this, a Yiddish Tzibur, a Frum Tzibur, is a Talmud Chacham. It's a Chacham, a Gewaltig Chiddush. A Frum Tzibur is a Talmud Chacham. That means you've got a Tzibur of people who are known to be Orthodox and meant to keep mitzvahs. And they do something which is not nice, even not major, but it's not nice. That is a Chilul Hashem. And therefore, anybody who can stop it is responsible. That's a Takamurdi Chiddush in Chilul Hashem. I mean, you understand what that means. You're part of a shul, which is a frum shul, and some of the members leave their cars in a spot which is awkward, which could be a Boibrishus or Abim or a... So that is a Chilul Hashem. Oh, he's not a Talmud Chacham. The Tzibur have a Chiv to make sure, that, from Tzibur, has a Chiv to make sure that the whole tzibur behaves in a way that's menschlich, that people will, because people look at that tzibur like they look at a Talmud Chacham. And it makes an attitude, it influences their understanding of Yiddishkeit. It's a tremendous achrayas. It's an achrayas Broughton Park. Oh, excuse me, so perhaps Preston as well now this. Broughton Park, let's put them separate. Right, Broughton Park or Prestwich, right? That's a from tzibur. That was known now. You know, you go around England today. No, Broughton Park's a from tzibur. Prestwich today is a from tzibur. So, if in Broughton Park there's a misbehaviour, they leave a lot of litter in the park. So that's a chilul Hashem because the tzibur that have done. A chilul Hashem. A terrible thought. Right? And anybody who can stop it has a chiv to stop it. It's a big chiddush. Actually, though, the reverse, of course, then works as well. If you've got a community that makes a kiddush Hashem, that means they behave in a way which is endears people to Yiddishkeit, they've made a kiddush Hashem. Follow me, all right? Say you've got it works both ways. So a tzibur from a yidden that behave and or do something which endears Yiddishkeit. People say, "Oh, Yiddishkeit's special." That is a kiddush Hashem, and it's guaranteed olam habo. You understand what that means? If you're in the chat with me too quickly, if you're part of Hatzolah. Or you're part of, what else? Shemrim. Or you're part, and you behave menschlich and behave nicely, and do chesed in an eifel dik. That is a kiddush Hashem, you're guaranteed olam habo. Because it works both ways. Right? A person, just like a tzibur can't machal shem shemayim, a tzibur must be kadesh shem shemayim, they get a guaranteed olam habo. Let me say, the Rizal Hashem is a chmurdi, a chiddush, but I trust him. There's a Gemara, actually, it's very nicely explained with that. There's a Gemara in Kesubah, Daf Dalad, I think, that the Olam, when Rebbe was ill, dying, they used to come daven for him constantly. And the day of the Levaya, so the Gemara says like this, Yotza bas kol, kol mi shahoyo bashkafta de Rebbe, mezumen l'chayel mavo. All those that were there at the Levaya or the Hesped of Rebbe is invited to Olam Habo. We're not talking about grace and mention all of them. So there was a washerman that missed it that day and was all upset. It wasn't talking about all grace and mention. So why should they all get Olam Habo? Answer, a tzibur from Yidden, the Omachaved Rebbe, Kveid HaTorah. So that's a kiddush Hashem. They made a kiddush Hashem. Muzumin l'chayel amabo. Moridigach kiddush. All right. I go to the first category. First category was that a person under certain circumstances must give up his life rather than do certain averas. So one of the situations is for three averas chamurais. Averas zor gilarois because domim. Rather than be transgressed them, he must give up his life. Well, Avodah Zorah nowadays is not very shchiach, but I've got a murdi chiddush from a Radvaz. I'd like to tell you, a Radvaz. The Radvaz says, Pesach Yeshua brings it in Halach in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Nun Zayin. He says, the Radvaz says, if a goy threatens a yid and says to him, be transgressed even a small aveira, with the declaration that Torah's Moshe doesn't apply to this or to me today. Is Yehoreg Val Yavar. That is the equivalent of Avodah Zorah. Already a Chiddush. Dravaz. Again? Even something like eating bread without washing. He doesn't have any Avodah. Do eat the bread without washing. Not because you can't be bothered. But because the Torah's Moshe doesn't apply to me, this doesn't apply to today. If a person makes that declaration and eats without that, that would be a chil, that would be the chil Hashem, and he has to give up his life rather than do it. Now that's becoming a bit closer to today. I wasn't sure if the Radvaz meant Dafka doing the Aveira, or is it just the declaration itself is the Yoriv HaYaver. It's interesting, the Radvaz throws in doing the small Aveira with the declaration that the Benishim's, the Torah doesn't apply to me. Oh, exactly. Ain't on the chedik. That was just the declaration. Oh. But the Radvaz said to elevate, I wasn't sure, is he Dafka or Lav Dafka? And I found, I think somebody else was not sure about it. No, the Yevonim, the time of the Chashmonoim, said, Kisu al Keren HaTzvi, al Kashoyer, Shoyer. Ein onu chelek berkei Yisrael. So all they asked was to write it. I found somebody else to had this shaila with it include an Aveira. The Rambam in Geres HaShmad, in his day, it seems, the Muslims used to force Yidden, on penalty of death, to declare that they hold of their Novi. So they asked the Rambam, is it Yoriv HaYaver? So the Rambam says, if somebody were to die for that, he gets tremendous schar. He says, if somebody were to ask me, all they want is a declaration. These are the words of Rambam. All they're asking for is a declaration, and they know we don't mean it. He says, I would tell them to make the declaration rather than die. Now, I'm not sure, again, whether the Rambam saying the declaration itself is not, the declaration itself does not demand to die, or whether he means, no, a declaration where he could be, thinks you mean it, is Chiyor Vayavar. And that's why he threw in an extra left sentence, and they know we don't mean it. Now, that's getting close to today. Because those who know what's going on with Ofsted are asking for declarations about the way we teach our children. That we don't, or what we teach them in my sebraceous and things like that, not get hold of it. So actually my son told me that my Mechutra by Greenberg was a tasif about this, and it seems they wanted them to sign that the Yiddish way of teaching my sebraceous is not scientifically true. And they were debating. So I turned to my son and he told me his shved said the same thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Because science is not the only truth. It's only one tiny part of truth. Science, Taka, doesn't know creation. Because scientifically, you can't get something from nothing. You only get from the Abishter. According to science, you've not got a neshama because you can't know about it. According to science, nothing exists because only things, one thing causes another in scientifically. Obviously, so just to say it's not scientifically correct would not be a clear. If they miss out the word scientific, that would be Yoriv HaYaver, according to one, maybe Yoriv HaYaver. Very interesting. That's an interesting thing where it's negeh.
It depends how people interpret it.
If they know we don't mean it, you've got the Rambam. Yeah. All right. That's just a very interesting yisod. That's Gila Arois, I was also thinking about. Yeah, you know, think it's Gila Arois, not so negeh. The Gemara says, included in Gila Arois is Yomus Valtasaperi Moachoire Geta. That means a person was mischashik by a nation's ish, and he has to have a connection with her, so, and the other one will die. Found an unusual situation, not a situation. So the Gemara says he should die rather than schmooze from one the other side of the wall. I remember Moshe Schwab once said in Shmuz once that probably it means schmoozing in an immoral way. I mean, schmoozing about, right, an intimate way. That's Yoriv HaYaver. Very interesting, because I don't know exactly how these things work, but I think today there's such a thing as making contact with somebody on the internet and schmoozing. So is that Yehori Val Yaver? I mean, if you get a little bit, if the schmoozing becomes intimate, would that be Yehori Val Yaver? So I discussed it with somebody with Tamakoff. He said, so I tell you, I've got two etain where it's not Yehori Val Yaver. I said, one is that you don't know who you're talking to. Yomosai Tasape Mercheira Geta, he knows who he's talking to. If you don't know who you're talking to, maybe it's not Yehori Val Yaver. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on so much. He said to me, no, it's Shaykh today with these sites that you can know who it is as well. Okay, so that Hesed's gone. So then I argued, maybe Yomosval Tzapim Ma'achira Geta is because you're close by. And today, you could be talking to somebody in South Africa, South America. So he said, no, that's also no good. So he argued back because he said, nowadays you can get on the plane and be there within 24 hours, no trouble at all. So I said, all right, maybe you're a Vayava. Yeah, could be. So I like to always go over positive. It comes out like this, that it comes out at the reverse now, that a person who's tempted to go on one of these sites, and there's nobody ever find out about it, and he doesn't do it because of Yirah Shemayim, that's a Kiddush Hashem. That's the second category. That was the second category. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Yeah? Kiddush Hashem. Moedig Azach. A person can make a Kiddush Hashem and be Zoche to Gan Eden just by refusing to press a few buttons. I'll tell you a story, actually. It's a lovely story. My Zeda, Chaim Shaul, it's my Bubba's Yotzeit today. So I can't tell that story about her, I'll tell that's about my Zeda. Mrs. Berkowitz came to him before the war, 1938, and said, I've got two brothers in Vienna. If you sign for them, I can get them out. So he said, all right, I'll sign for them. You know, he's head of the yeshiva. He said, I can sign that I'll look after them. You had to sign, you'll look after them. He said, I can manage that. So he signed and they got out. So he didn't realize what was going on, so he had to get out. So he went to the Rosh Yeshiva in Moshe Yitzchok. And he said, it seems I can sign to look after Yidden and I can get them out of Europe. Shall I do it? Because he had the achrayas of the yeshiva and it's a big achrayas because he had to look after them financially. It was a big achrayas. Shall I do it? So the Rosh Yeshiva answered one sentence. Beautiful. Yeah, I think it was your father told me this. The Rosh Yeshiva said one sentence. He says, Gan Eden Fadafis. Gan Eden Fadafis. It's like, you know, you've got a line in the wall, in the street. And all you need to do is stand over the line, you've gone into Gan Eden. He says, you've got it there, ready in front of you, Gan Eden Fadafis. You understand? That was in those days. Rav Leibowitz once said to us, Shtetin Keheles, I started with Shashim, Shtetin Keheles, Al Tome Yomim Shonim Mahayu Tovim Eila. Don't say the olden days were better than today. He was doubting once in the yeshiva, that to give help to Pilim. He said, Amoli says, he remembers when he was a child, to make a man frum, you could knock your head against a wall. He says, today you give a few pounds to Pilim, you can help to make a family frum. I says, I'll tell you, you're ashamed how you told him, don't say the olden days were better than today. He says, today you can be zeicher so much easier in some things. I said, today, it's not just Gan Eden for the finger. You can be zeicher Gan Eden just by keeping your fingers. It's unbelievable what a person could be zeicher. That was that one. And one I'll end off with a beautiful kasha from the Malcheshes. Now, I've got a little teretz, so I hope I've got the time for the time teretz. Peter Kaplan and I used to, however, Yeshua should used to tell me this. He used to, with a slide from this kasha. There's Aran. Yehori Val Yaver is the Shlosh Averos Chamuros. But what's the situation giving up all your money? The Aran says in Sukkah that a person has to give up all his money rather than do a lav. That means a goy says to him, eat that nevela. I'll kill you, or I'll take all your money. He's got the koich to do it. I burn your house down, you lost everything. You mustn't eat the nevela. As we pass the ram. Where do you chiddush? In the ram, there are more paskins like the ram. Right? Fortunately or unfortunately, there it would be. He passes out the ram. So Narcheshes asks a Muradig Akasha. He says like this. Where's the Pasuk Kiddush Hashem? The O have a to Eis Hashem Elekecho V'chol Levovcho. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your soul. That means give up your life rather than serve Avodah Zorah. Uvachol Ma'odecho, give up your life rather than give up all your money rather than serve Avodah Zorah. Obvious, if you've got to give up your life. Well, some people, their money is more important than their lives. Right. In fact, the Malcheshes state in Posuk that for your Avodah Zorah you have to give up all your money, but not for other things. Not for other lavim. As I'm doing in Posuk. Nishvi Laran. As I fret the Malcheshes Akasha. Muridik Akasha. He says he asked his Rebbe, and the Rebbe just says, no. They found an Orchel Neir asks the Kashans and Bleib Shver. And then he says he saw in the Gorn Bavont the Kashan. It means the Gorn is very cryptic in Shulchan Aruch. There's about three words there that show that he's also noticed this as a Kasha against the Ran. Is the Malchashas but he says like this, this din of not giving up all your money rather than doing an Avera, according to a lot of Achronim, is only doing an Avera but kumbi asei, doing the Avera, but b'shevi al tasa not. So he says, you could be over something of Avodah Zorah, b'shevi al tasa, therefore for Avodah Zorah you'd have to give up all your money and not for any other love. Right. But it doesn't answer the remains of the Rivosh holds, even b'shevi al tasa, so it doesn't answer according to the Rivosh. And the situation of Avodah Zorah b'shevi al tasa is not so clear either. I'd like to suggest a teretz, this Kashel Narcheshes. Right? It's a Lomdush teretz, I hope you're happy. The Goy says to a Yid, eat that Nevela, or I'll take all your money. He must refuse to eat the Nevela. Right? Mustn't do a lav, must give up all his money. What would be, though, if a Goy says to a Yid, eat that Nevela, or I'll kill you? Now, you can eat the Nevela. But what would happen if you would know that if I would bribe him with all my money, he'd let me off? I could say to the guy, don't kill me, I won't eat the Nevela, but I'll give you everything I've got. And he would say, all right. Is he mechuyev? Can he eat the Nevela because the guy is threatening his life? Or has he got to suggest all his money? So you see, what's the difference? But I think if you think about it, there is actually a major difference here. We don't normally assume a person has to make unusual efforts to avoid doing an Avera where it's Pikuach Nefesh. Give a moshul. Somebody who's got, who's ill. Somebody who's not. And every so often he gets an attack, he has to go to the hospital. But he didn't even, only once in a few weeks. But sometimes falls off on Shabbos. So you say to yourself like this, what will happen is, he'll get this attack on Shabbos, and he'll have Mechal Shabbos to get to the hospital, whatever, to save his life. He's allowed to. So we say to him, no, buy the machinery of the hospital, hire a doctor to stay in your house every Shabbos, and you won't have Mechal Shabbos. He says, well, that's all my money. We wouldn't ask him to do that. No, probably not. Why? Because the situation is his life against Shabbos. His life comes first. Ah, I can get round both. You don't hire a person to get round both. Right? So I'm suggesting the answer to Kasha and Malcheshes like that. In other words, if a goy would threaten a person, I'll kill you if you don't eat an Avela, you would not be mechuyev. We all have a Torah, Eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol mo'edecho. If it would be Avodah Zorah, he'd say, do the Avodah Zorah or I'll kill you. Then you have to say to him, I'll give you all my money, so let me off both. And then you have to. For Avodah Zorah, he would have to. But for a lav, he wouldn't have to. Because he's not obliged to, for him to suggest an unusual, this is actually a very important shaila in halacha, in a variety of ways, something in Moshul. One of these regular shaila people have is, they want to go to shul on Shabbos morning, but they have to have a certain pill with them, and it means carrying it. is the whole shaila, can he go? Because you can say like this, it's pikuach nefesh, I need the pill to stay at home. But is staying at home an alternative, a solution? See, you've often got where you can, somebody needs to eat on Yom Kippur, so the doctor says, I could put a drip on you. Does he have to put the drip on? We don't say so. No, we don't say these sorts of things. We don't expect a person to find solutions which are unusual to avoid the situation where pikuach nefesh is doicha and that. So therefore, I would suggest that's the answer here. You're not mechuyev to offer the guy all your money to avoid the situation. But for Abba Zoh, you'd have to. That would be an answer to the Kashrut Malach HaShe'es. Got it. Amen.